Okay, today's daf is Kiddushin daf Mem. Hey, we left off on the bottom of daf Mem, Dalid Amid Beis, and what we were discussing is if a Ketana accepts Kiddushin, Shalomi Das Avia, without her father ever approving of the acceptance of Kiddushin. So the Gemara had, what we closed with yesterday, was the opinion of Ula, who holds that there's no chashash of any sort of Kiddushin. You don't have to assume that maybe the father really approves of the Kiddushin. He doesn't, and therefore she does not require anything. She doesn't even require miyun. So we started questioning the opinion of Ula. We're going to further question the opinion of Ula. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if a man who was Mekadesh HaKetana dies, and then his brother is left with this young woman, and the brother is Mekadesh her also, how does she go about absolving herself of either of these marriages? And the Gemara is going to discuss how she needs a get, and chalitza, and miyun. Then the Gemara is going to talk about, once we talk about, do we have to be choshesh when a man is Mekadesh HaKetana, that the father of the girl maybe approves of the wedding? What if a man is Mekadesh a girl on behalf of his son, without his son ever having made him a shliach? Are we also choshesh that the son might approve of what the father is doing in being mekadesh the isha for him, and therefore it might be a good kiddushin? The Gemara is then going to talk about being mekadesh a ketana in a disrespectful way, either using a disrespectful item or doing it in a disrespectful place. The Gemara is going to talk about a father's relative being mekadesh. The girl, after there was a protracted argument between the father and the mother, whose relative to give her to, and the mother ultimately won. What if the father's relative sneaks in there and does the kiddushin on the katana? Do we assume that the father is maskim because that's what he really wanted all along, or do we assume that no, that it's the father's not maskim because he had already relented to his wife to give the daughter to her relative? And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk about what if the kiddushin of the katana was Das Avia, but it was the Nisuin that was Shalola Das Avia. The Nisuin was, I just can't see it. The Nisuin is done Shalola Das Avia. The Nisuin is done without his knowledge, either because he's out of town, or maybe he's even in town. Yeah, it's better over here. Thank you.
You can get that one.
Right, thank you. Shkaya. Or the Nisuin was done while he was in town, but he didn't say anything about it. So a lot to discuss in today's daf. We left off at... we left off where we Masiv Rav Kahana, I believe, right? No, we did that one already. We left off at Masiv Rav Hamnuna. Masiv Rav Hamnuna. So the second to last line on Memdal and Bey's last word on the line. So Masiv Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna again asked on the opinion of Ula. Ula was the one that said that if a man is Mekadesh HaKetana without the father's knowledge, you're not Choshesh for anything. Nothing happens. You don't even require miyun. So Rav Hamnuna asks, really? But don't we learn Ein Mochro L'Krovim that a father is not allowed to sell his daughter to a relative, because when a man sells his daughter as Nami Iv, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, you need to have the potential, at least, of being able to do yi'ud, of the guy buying her being able to marry her. So you're not allowed to sell her to relatives, because relatives are not allowed to marry her. Mishum Rav Lazar Amar Mokra L'Krovim. Rav Lazar ever disagrees, and he says you may sell her to relatives, even though they're not going to be able to be Mekadesh her. V'shavin, but everyone agrees, Shemokra Almana L'Kohen Gadol, that even though the daughter is already an Almana, the father is allowed to sell her to a Kohen Gadol, even though Kohen Gadol is a Nisr Lav to marry an Almana, but it's only Nisr Lav. Kiddushin is Tovsin with the Kohen Gadol, and therefore the father is able to sell her to the Kohen Gadol, or Grusha v'Chalutza the Kohen Edot. If the daughter is already a Grusha or already a Chalutza, he can sell her to a Kohen Edot. So ask the Gemara, Hai Almana Hechidami, how could it be that the girl is already an Almana, and yet the father is still selling her as an Ami Ivriya? He still has the rights to sell her as an Ami Ivriya. Shouldn't she, by the time she's an Almana, be out of the Rishus of Aviyah, out of her father's Rishus? So what's the case exactly where she's an Almana? If the case was that in her previous marriage her father had given her over for Kiddushin, well, would the father then subsequently be able to sell her? If a father had given his daughter over for Kiddushin and then that husband dies and the girl is still a Katana,
Can the father really sell her as Nami Ivriya? Ha'ena the Mokhras Bitul Shivcha Sacharishos. Halacha is a man may not sell his daughter as a Shivcha after she's already been married. So Elalav, the Kaddish Ihi Nafsha. No, the case must have been that the father had no part of her original Kiddushin. She accepted Kiddushin on her own without the das of her father, and then that husband died. Now she's an almana, and the father wants to sell her. So he's entitled to sell her, but what do you see? That even though she accepted Kiddushin as a ketana, it has to be a ketana, because the father cannot sell his daughter as Namivri when she's no longer a ketana. So it's got to be a ketana. She accepted Kiddushin as a ketana, without the das of her father, and yet, v'kakari la almana. We're calling her an almana. So we're not saying that the kiddushin is garbage, that we pretend it never happened because it's completely halachically invalid since it never had the das of the father. No, we call her an almana. Isn't this Akasha and Ula, who said we don't have to be choshish for anything, you don't even have to do minyan, you don't have to worry about anything as far as this kiddushin is concerned. So Amrav Amram, Amrav Yitzchak, hacha b'kiddusha yiyud, v'alibid Rav Yehuda. Now the case over here was not that she had accepted Kiddushin without the das of her father, nor that her father had accepted Kiddushin for her. The case was the father had previously sold her as Nami Ivriya, and the master had done Yiyud on her, meaning he had taken her as wife, and then the master died. So the master had become the husband, and then he died. That's how she became an almana. And we're assuming, we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that when a guy buys an Ami Ivriya, and then he subsequently does Yiyud, it is not the money that he paid for her originally that we view as Kesef Kiddushin. If that were the case, then it would be the same as the father giving her over for Kiddushin. That's not the way we view it. We view it as the original money was paid to buy an Ami Ivriya. How does he take her as a wife afterwards? By forgiving all the future work that she owes him, that's the kess of Kiddushin that he takes her as a wife with. So it was all with Kiddusha Yiyud. That's how the girl became an almana. So we thought we had a kasha on Ula, but the Gemara resolves the question. It's not a kasha on Ula at all. Now it's interesting, we say that everyone agrees that you could sell her as an almana to a kohen gadol. If you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we had a sugya on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph where the Gemara asks a stira between two brisos. In one brisa it says that mochra la'aviv ve'in mochra l'bno. One brisa says that a man can sell his daughter as an Ami Ivriya to his own father, but he may not sell his daughter to his own son as an Ami Ivriya. And the other brisa says, "Ein mochra lo la'aviv v'lo l'bno." He's not allowed to sell his daughter to his father or to his son. And the Gemara says that both brisas are assuming that you're not allowed to sell your daughter to Krovim. It's just that the Chachamim are moda when there's a tzad yud, that when there's any possibility of yud, meaning if the Adon has any chance, whether to be Yair himself or to give her over to his son for Yiyud, that would be good enough even if he himself is not able to be Miyayid. And therefore, Mochra La'aviv, since the son can do Yiyud, because she's Basach, she would be the nephew. Meaning, if I sell my daughter to my father, so my father can't do Yiyud on my daughter, because it's his granddaughter. But my father's son can do Yiyud on my daughter, because my father's son is her uncle, and an uncle is allowed to marry a niece. But you cannot sell her lebno because there's no tzad yiud even for the son, because she is, if I try to sell her to my son, then she is my son's sister, so that won't work. If my son wants to give her over to you, to his son, it also won't work because she's his aunt, and an aunt and a nephew may not get married. So that's how the Gemara resolves that stira. So if
it has to be present at the time of the sale, or just a potential?
What do you mean?
I mean, do you have to have
So this is what I'm getting to right now. So some of the achronim, the mitzvah esan, in the back of the Gemara asked the kasha, what's the chiddush of the chacham over here that you're allowed to sell your daughter when she's an almana to a kohen gadol? There is a tzad yiud by the son of the kohen gadol. So you have a tzad yud. So what's the chiddush that you're allowed to sell it as an alman of the kohen gadol? If you have a tzad yud, the son isn't a kohen gadol. So the mitzvah eisen suggests that tzad yud is only when there's the adon has a tzad, is able to be miyayter, but if he doesn't have a son, and even if he would have had a son who could have been miyayter her, but right now he doesn't have a son, that's not called a tzad yud. That's what he's mechadesh. The pashas in the Gemara you would have assumed tzad yud means theoretical tzad yud. So it says mitzvah eisen, no, it needs to be a practical, actual tzad yud. So what the Gemara meant to say is that the brisos are not really disagreeing with each other. One of them is talking about where he has a son, so there is a tzad yud. The other one's talking about where he doesn't have a son, and therefore there's no tzad yud. So in our brisos also, everyone agrees by an alman kohen gadol is talking about a kohen gadol who doesn't have a son. So there's no tzad yud, but afal pikein he's allowed to sell her because it's only an isra lav. I mean, the almana to the kohen gadol is not a rayos, it's only an isra lav. That's the chiddush of almana the kohen gadol. So good. So says the Gemara further now. We're at the two dots. Itmar. Meis v'nafel f'nei achav li'ibum. So a guy is mekadesh the katana without the das of her father, and now that guy that was mekadesh the katana dies. Ruvain's mekadesh the katana without consulting her father. Now Ruvain dies, and Shimon survives Ruvain. Shimon is Ruvain's brother. Now you have. Now we're going to discuss. Well, let's see. Amarav hun amarav mima'enes lema'amaro ve'ena mima'enes lizikaso. If Shimon does maimer, means he does an act of kiddushin on this girl that Reuven had left, then she's going to need a miyun. But if Shimon never does an act of kiddushin on her, then she's not going to need a miyun. The Gemara is going to elaborate right now. Essentially, what we're left with is if Shimon does does maimer on this girl, you have four possible outcomes. You have four possibilities of what actually happened over here. Remember, she's a katana, so you can't really do kiddushin without her father's das. So the whole chashash is maybe her father really approves. So who did kiddushin on her? Reuven did kiddushin on her. Then Reuven died, and then Shimon did kiddushin on her. Possibility number one is the father maybe approves of the kiddushin of Reuven, but not of the kiddushin of Shimon. Possibility number two is the father approves of the kiddushin of Shimon, but not of the kiddushin of Reuven. Possibility number three is the father approves of both kiddushins. Possibility number four is the father approves of neither kiddushin, and we need to account for all of those possibilities and where they would lead us. So Kate said, "Asa b'maimer, if Shimon actually does this kiddushin on her, so tzricha get utzricha chalitza utzricha miyun, in order to completely absolve herself of this marriage situation that she's in, she's going to need a get, a chalitza, and a miyun." She's going to need a get because maybe the father didn't approve of Reuven's marriage, but did approve of Shimon's marriage, in which case she's fully married to Shimon. So she's going to need a get from Shimon. Tzricha chalitza, she needs a chalitza because Shemen Esratza Av B'Kiddushe Rishon. Maybe the father approved of Reuven's marriage, not Shimon's marriage, but once Reuven was married to her, now it's a chalitza situation with Shimon. And Tzricha Miyun, she's going to require Miyun as well. Shema lo nisratza av lo b'kiddushe rishon v'lo b'kiddushe sheni. Maybe the father doesn't approve of either one of the marriages, and therefore she's really not married at all. But since she received the get, we're afraid v'yomru ein kiddushin tofsin b'achosa. People are going to think that she was married to Shimon because she received the get from him as chashash that just in case it was nisratza b'kiddushe Shimon. Since she received the get from him, people are going to think that kiddushin, if Shimon ever tries to be mekadesh her sister, that kiddushin is not going to be tofsin because it's chos ishto. So people are going to make that mistake, and in order to avoid that mistake, we require Miyun to say, no, she was never really married to Shimon for sure. We don't know for sure that she was ever married to Shimon. We didn't require a get b'toras vaday. We only required a get b'toras safek. And therefore, if Shimon ever goes ahead and is mekadesh, her sister, we're going to have to deal with it. It's something that we're going to have to, it's going to be a safek kiddushin. It's going to be something that's going to require a get. It's something that we're going to have to deal with. So that's all if the guy does maimer, if Shimon actually tries to be mekadesh. Now the Gemara explains, as we just saw, why you need the get, why we need the chalitza, why we need the miyun. So what did we say? Why do we need the miyun? Because if someone sees that she receives the get from Shimon, they're going to assume that she was really definitely married to Shimon. But isn't the same person who sees that she received a get from Shimon also going to notice that she received a chalitza from Shimon? Because we didn't just say she needs to get a miyun, she needs to get chalitza and miyun. So why would a person make the assumption that she's going, that she was fully married to Shimon, and that's why she needed to get? Why would a person, and because of that assumption that we're worried about, would require a miyun? The person must have seen that there was a chalitza there also, so obviously we're misupuk, otherwise we would not have required both a get and a chalitza. You only require a get and a chalitza because we're dealing with a suffix. So this is a kasha that all the Rishonim ask. The Tosos, the Ramban, Tos HaRosh, the Ritva, all the Rishonim ask this kasha. So the Ravid suggests the following approach. Actually, no, not the Ravid, the Tosos and the Ritva suggest the following approach. They suggest as follows, that even though the second guy does chalitza, it could be that people will assume that the father approves of only the second guy's marriage and not the first guy's marriage. And if she only would have done chalitza alone, and without miyun, if she would have done chalitza without miyun, people would assume that the chalitza could be explained in one of the following ways: that the chalitza was only l'rav chadimilsa, it was done stam as an extra chumrah, or that the chalitza was only because they only realized after the chalitza that the first kiddushin was not valid. But really, now that we know that the first kiddushin was not valid, the chalitza was really totally unnecessary. People would make one of these assumptions about the chalitza to say that the chalitza wasn't really necessary. Really, she was fully married to the second guy, not to the first guy. The get was necessary, and therefore in kiddushin tovsin ba'achosa. Now, why is it that people are going to assume that the father would approve of Shimon's marriage and not Reuven's marriage? Why do all these rishonim say that that's the natural assumption people are going to make? So either it's because the first guy did something really not right. He was Mekadesh Shalolu Dasaviyah, so it's Mestava that the father's not going to be approving of that. But the second guy didn't do something so terribly wrong, because he had a reason to be Mekadesher. He had a Zika. His brother died when married to this girl, so he thought he had a responsibility to take her. So maybe the father would be more approving of that. Or it could be that the father saw that she was Neskadesh to the first guy, so maybe he was blindsided by that, and he didn't approve of it. But with the second guy, he wasn't blindsided. He should have realized that something like this is gonna come up. Or it could be that the second guy gave her a regular get, not a get yivam, and so it makes it look like she's mamish his wife. So that's at least how some of the Rishonim deal with this situation. Other Rishonim say, the Ravid says, and is quoted by many of the other Rishonim, that you can't be somech on a chalitza alone to assume that she's not a grusha midar raisa, because you have to be choshesh that maybe after that maybe somebody will hear about the get and won't hear about the chalitza. So we're not somech on the fact that she had a chalitza that everyone's going to know that it's a suffix. Not everyone always knows about a chalitza. So that's why we still require the miyun. Vayter in the Gemara now. This is all if Shimon did maimer on the girl. Shimon also was mekadesh the girl. Lo asaba maimer. What if Shimon never did kiddushin on the girl? Reuven had done kiddushin without the das of the father. Reuven dies. Shimon is now left with what might be Reuven's wife. So he doesn't know. If the father had approved, it is Reuven's wife. If the father never approved, it's not Reuven's wife. So what do we do in terms of her relationship with Shimon? So then, Eina tzricha ela chalitza blvad. You only need chalitza. Worst case scenario, she was Reuven's wife and therefore requires chalitza. So that's all you need is chalitza. May amrit, tibay nami miyun shami yomar en kiddushin tofsim bachosa. Because why? What are we going to be concerned about? We're going to say that she should require miyun also, lest people think that kiddushin is not going to be tofis and her sister. Because if you do chalitza, we know that you're not allowed to marry achos chalutzaso. So maybe you're going to say, well, if Shimon only does chalitza, then maybe people will think that if Shimon ever tries to be mekadesh this girl's sister, the kiddushin is not tofis. Nah, you don't have to worry about that, because hakol yodim achos chalutza drabanan. Everyone realizes that while the iser to marry your grusha is d'oraisa, and therefore kiddushin is not tofes in the sister of your grusha, everyone realizes that the iser to marry your chalutza is only midrabanan, and therefore kiddushin is tofsin on achos chalutza. So everyone knows that, the Gemara says. The whole world realizes that. So there's a major kasha the Rishonim deal with. Shuvus Ma'ari Brona raises the question. He says, everyone realizes that? The sheet of Rabbi Akiva in Yevamos Daf Mem Dalid is that Achos Chalutza is Asur Min HaTorah. So how could you say, Rabbi Akiva apparently didn't know it. How could you say, Hakol Yodin, that Achos Chalutza is only Midrabanan? It's not a kol. Rabbi Akiva holds Achos Chalutza is Daraisa. So how could you say that? Everyone just agrees that Achos Chalutza is Midrabanan. Not only that, Tosas Mesechus Gittin writes that you can never say the phrase, Adam Yodaya. That people know when it's a machlokas. You're not allowed to say people know when it's a machlokas because it's a machlokas. It's not people know. So there are a couple of tirutzim that the Mari suggests. First suggestion, he says, is that by chalutzim in a erisin, where the guy that died was only an arus, he only had done erisin, he hadn't done nisuin, even Rabbi Akiva would be moda that the yisur of achos chalutzah is not min haTorah. Rabbi Akiva holds the yisur of achos chalutzah is min haTorah when the chalitza was done after nisuin. The second suggestion I thought also is very interesting. He says that maybe there's a difference between adam yodeya, when Tosos says you're not allowed to say adam yodeya on something that's a machlokas. Tosos was talking about something that was a machlokas amoraim. That was a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. So you can't, amoraim can't say, oh, everyone knows that, when it's a subject of a machlokas amoraim. But if it was a machlokas tanaim that was already resolved hundreds of years earlier, it was already resolved in earlier generations, and now we've come to a conclusion. We know how to paskin, and the world has been paskining a certain way for a long time. Like over here, Machlokas Rabbi Akiva, and the Chachamim, Rabbi Akiva was already outvoted on this issue, then you're allowed to say Adam Yodeya. Then you're allowed to say that everyone knows that there's no, that Achos Chalutza is only Midrabana and is not Daoraisa, because Rabbi Akiva has already clearly been outvoted on this issue. It's like there's a concept of tub dvar mishnah, that if someone makes a mistake on something that's blatant, that's obvious, so that's different than a tub b'shikul adas. When you get a psak halacha and there's a and there's a mistake in terms of a person didn't realize that the minig is to paskin like the taz over here and not like the shach, because normally we always paskin like the shach against the taz. The posik didn't realize, so he paskin feel like the taz. So that's the Tabi Shikla Das, you're bound by that psak. But if he was Tabi Dvar Mishnah, he made a blatant error, and many of the poskim assume that means he said something against what's written in Shulchan Aruch, because he didn't know what it says in Shulchan Aruch. He mamash just made a blatant mistake. But maybe it was a machlokas rishonim, and he's saying like so. It's still a tub of dvar mishnah because Shulchan Aruch has been accepted. It's been widely accepted for generations and generations. Once something has been widely accepted, we could say adam yodeya. Everyone is expected to know this. Someone who doesn't know it gets it wrong. It's just wrong. It's not something that we have to acknowledge even. But if it's still being debated in the Bate Medrash, or if it was just recently resolved, then it's as if it's a live debate still, and you're not going to say adam yodeya, that people are aware that it was necessarily a mistake. Dam Reish Lakish Kanshana Rebbe. Rebbe taught Acharos Grusha Midaraisa. The issur to marry the sister of your ex-wife is an issur daraisa. Achos Chalutza Midivrei Sofrim. The issur to marry the sister of a chalutza is only midrabanan. Period. New discussion now. There were two people that are drinking wine together underneath a tzipi tree in Babel, a rava bush. They're having such a good time together. They just met on this nice Pesach program and they're enjoying the nice weather. And they one of them takes a cup of wine and gives it to his friend. And he says, I want your daughter to be Mekadesh. We'd make great Mechutanim. We all know you can't really pick your Mechutanim. So it would be really great, you know, we'd be great mechutanim. I want your daughter to be mekudeshes to my son. So Amar Ravina, Afilu Man Yamar Chashina, Hashem Nisratza Ha'av, even according to the opinion that says that when you're mekadesh a ketana, you have to be concerned that maybe the father really approves of the kiddushin, and maybe you have something over here. In this case, Hashem Nisratza Ha'ben Lo Amrinan. No one says that a father being mekadesh a girl on behalf of his son, when the son never asked the father to do so, they have to be choshish. Maybe the son's okay with that. Sons are typically not okay with their father choosing a wife for them and marrying the wife for them. So typically, they want to have some say in the process. So, Amrilei Rabban Ravina Vidilma Shliach Shavya. Wait, how do you know the father was totally acting on his own accord? Maybe the father was a shliach of the son. Maybe the son said, "Do me a favor. I want you to befriend that guy because he has a daughter that I really want to marry, and see if you can maybe get him to agree to give his daughter over to me." So maybe he had made the father a shliach. A person wouldn't have the chutzpah to make his father a shliach. A father does not become an errand boy. boy for a son. You don't send him as a shliach, that's a chutzpah. A child would never do that for a son. A child would never do that to his father. Okay, maybe he didn't make him a shliach, but maybe the son was having a conversation with the father, and the father was saying, listen, son, we have to start thinking about who you're going to marry, and the son says, oh, I know who I'm going to marry. I want to marry this girl. I'm madly in love with her. That's the one for me. And the father hears this, knows exactly who the son wants to marry, and on his own wants to do for the kid. So he goes and is mekadesh the girlfriend, said, zachal adam shel b'fanav. You don't have to be made a shliach if you know that that's what he wants. You know that that's what he's interested in. So maybe the kiddushin should be valid, because maybe we have to be choshesh that the son had told the father that he is interested in this girl. We had said explicitly that Ravina had said explicitly that he doesn't hold of Rav and Shmuel, who are choshesh that maybe the father approves of a daughter's kiddushin, and therefore by according to them we have to be choshesh, meaning maybe according to Rav and Shmuel, you have to be choshesh when a guy is mekadesh a katana, that maybe her father approves of it. Yeah, maybe over here you have to be choshesh, maybe the son approved of it, maybe the son really told the father that he was interested in this girl. But Ravina says, I don't hold like that. I don't hold that you have to be choshesh that maybe the father approved of the kiddushin, and therefore in this case I don't hold you have to be choshesh that maybe the son approves of the kiddushin. There's no reason for any such chashash. Now the Rush has an interesting chiddush over here, this idea that maybe the son made the father a shliach, we suggested, says the Rush, mikan nira ledaktek she'ein sarach edim b'minu shlichu shel kiddushin. You see clearly over here that you don't need edim to appoint a shliach to do kiddushin for you. Meaning to get married, you definitely need edim. You need edim kiddushin to get married. What about to make a shliach to be mekadesh nisha for you? Says the Rush, it seems clear over here, you don't need edim for that, because the as long as the mekadesh is moda that he made him a shliach, it's going to be good enough. What? Yeah, but if the other party does agree, is there a kiddushin? Meaning that's the issue. If the other party does agree, is there a kiddushin? So if the shliach is not really a certified shliach, then it's not a kiddushin even if the other party does agree. But if it's a certified shliach, so he says, in order to make a person a certified shliach, you don't need edim. So that's what the Rosh is medayik from here. And that's what the Mordechai writes as well. B'shem Rabbi Yaivitz, that's not Rabbi Yaakov Emden, because Rabbi Yaakov Emden was an achron. And the raya is from our sugya. What's the raya from our sugya? From the Gemara says Dilma Shliach Shavya, and the Gemara does not say Dilma Shliach Shavya Be'edin. The Gemara says maybe he made him a shliach. It never says maybe he made him a shliach with edim. It sounds like even without edim, it could have been a shliach. Is that the greatest raya in the world? Other Rishonim say not really. Meaning maybe he made him a shliach with whatever it takes to make a shliach. And if that requires edim, so good. We're not commenting right now on whether it requires edim. So it's a difficult diuk to make, but that's the diuk that they make. It's also interesting. The Gemara says that lo chatzav inish l'shviyav lavu shliach. A person would never have the chutzpah to make his father a shliach. From the teretz of the Gemara, it turns out that when it's only when a father's being mekadesh and isha for his son that we assume that we don't have to be choshesh that he made him a shliach, because no one would ever have that kind of chutzpah. So what if a guy just says, I'm being mekadesh this girl on behalf of my friend, and we don't know if the friend ever made him a shliach. He said, I'm being mekadesh a girl on behalf of my friend. So now you don't have the svara of lo chatzav inish, that a person wouldn't have the chutzpah. He's a friend. Of course I would make him a shliach. So then maybe you have to be choshish in that case. That's what the Ramban is, medayik, based in the Shita of the Gaonim. But other Rishonim say that it's not only that only by a father there's room for a chashash that he would have made him a shliach in the first place. But by somebody else, why would you assume that he made a random person a shliach? Because by the father there's an increased possibility that he even became a shliach in the first place, so we counter that increased possibility with, nah, but it's a chutzpah. But by a friend, you would just never assume a random person who's just totally a czar over here, he's a total stranger to this case, that he would just naturally be a shliach. Okay, new case. Hahu gavra, back in the Gemara, about 6 lines into the page, mem hey amin beis. Hahu gavra de kaddish bekisha de yarka b'shuka. A guy who's mekaddish with like a bundle of vegetables in the shuk. So he did two things wrong. First of all, if you're mekaddish nisha, Take something respectable. Get a nice ring. Get something reasonable. To take a bundle of celery or something and just give it to her, that's ridiculous. You shouldn't do that. And it was Beshuka. It was out in the open market. It was not a respect. Now you get a wedding hall, somewhere nice, on the beach. I don't know, something nice to be Mekadish the Isha. So why is he being Mekadish the Isha in such a place? So he does this to a katana. Even if you assume that typically when you're Mekadish a katana, your choshish, maybe the father approves of the kiddushin, that's at least when you treat the daughter with some dignity, with some respect. Hani mili derech kavod. That's if you do it derech kavod. Al derech bizayon lo. The father, this is not the way the father envisions his daughter's wedding to be, with a bundle of vegetables given to her in the shuk. That's absolutely not okay. Amalei Rav Acha midivta de Ravina bizayon demai. Well, what exactly are we concerned about? What exactly is the bizayon over here that we don't like? I bizayon de yarko, I bizayon de shuka. Is it what he used for the kiddushin, or is it the location he chose to do the kiddushin in? Which is the bizayon that we assume the father would never approve of? Nafkamina, the kaddish bekasva b'shuka. Nafkamina would be if he gives her a kesef, which is a respectable thing, but in a disrespectful place. Obukisha diarka bebesa, or he gives her a disrespectful thing, but in a nice wedding hall. So that would be the nafkamina. So, mate, what's the din? Which of these bizyonos is considered the real bizayon? They're both a derech bizayon, and either one is enough to make it a derech bizayon, and therefore enough to assume that the father is not Mekadesh. Now, the Gemara only mentions two types of Bizayon. What if there's a totally different type of Bizayon? B'maimad shel rekim u'pochzim, the Sefer Gedolah Mishloach discusses, he does it in front of, it's a nice place, and it's with a nice thing, but it's in front of just a bunch of lowlives. It's with his motorcycle gang. It's not with people that that you would normally expect, dignified people you normally expect to invite to a wedding. So the Gedolah Mishloach writes that that's also in the Mekadeshes. These are just, what the Gemara's maskana is that it doesn't matter what the bizayon is. If it's bizayonis, it's bizayonis. It doesn't make a difference if it's the bizayon of the makom, bizayon of the chepta, or any other bizayon. She accepts, but it's not hers to accept. She's a katana. The father has to be the one that accepts. Now, it's interesting that in the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, this din is not quoted. I mean, it seems like it's a clear Gemara that derech bizayon, if you're mekadesh a katana, derech bizayon, there's no exception that the father accepts. So the Sefer Avodas HaGershuni in the Tshuva Simen Pehe wonders why it is that it's not mentioned, and he suggests that maybe we have to be mechalik between different types of bizyonos, and maybe each case is a judgment call. So it's not nitan to be given to a clear psak in Shulchan Aruch. We have to judge what the bizayon is, meaning against what we just said, that whatever is a bizayon no matter. No, maybe the Gemara was really just saying that makom is a bizayon if it's in fact a terrible enough place. So maybe it's not mentioned based on the fact that it's really, really depends on each and every situation. Not really a great answer, l'chora, because at least you could have given the situations that the Gemara gave. That's definitely derech bizayon. Bishuk is definitely derech bizayon. If you use the bundle of vegetables, that's definitely derech bizayon. That should have been mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, and then the achronim should have left the rest to a judgment call. So it's not so clear why that's why that would be a satisfactory answer. Okay, right through the Gemara.
Vegetables are truffles, they're expensive truffles.
Right, so it would be left to anything other than the exact case the Gemara gave would have been left to judgment call. Let's say a husband and wife to marry the girl off too. They have a young girl, they want to marry her off, but and it used to be, the practice was, even not that many generations ago, that people would marry their first cousin. People would marry someone who was a relative. I think it's illegal in America, but it used to be that I remember when Steven Spielberg sent people around to interview Holocaust survivors, and they had those videos with these interviews with the what was it called?
The Shoah
Project. The Shoah Project, right? So my wife's grandfather was interviewed. Zichron Levracha was interviewed. So we were watching one time on his yard site. I think we were sitting and watching the interview. It was all videoed, and the interviewer said, "And how did you meet your wife?" And he looks at her like, how did anyone meet their wife? She's my cousin. You know, that's how you met your wife. So they're having this argument. The guy was saying, I want her to marry my relative. And she says, no, your family's crazy. I want her to marry my relative. I ad-lib that. It doesn't say that in the Gemara. I want her to marry my relative, she says. So they're arguing about who to marry. As usual, the wife wins. And finally, the husband relents, says, fine, let her marry your relative, not my relative. So they're having a vart. They're enjoying the party in the of shiduchin. Poskim discussed. You have a raya from here that a lechayim or a vart is a sudas mitzvah. Probably not. Also, krevi beigra v'kitcha. So his relative then comes and goes in his mekadesher. So, but she's a ketana. So the whole question is going to be, do we assume that the father approves? Now the whole time he was pushing for his own relative to be the one. Now his own relative came and was Mekadisher, but at the end of the day he relented and he said that it was going to be his wife's relative. So do we assume the father approves of this Kiddushin or not? Amar Abaye Ksiv, Sheiris Sol Le'asu Avla V'Yidam L'Chazav. We have a Chazaka that Jews don't lie. So if he told his wife that it's going to be her relative, then it's her relative. He stands by his word, and therefore there's no way he approves of this kiddushin. Rava Amar Chazaka Inadim Terech Bezudim Afsida. Rava says no, it's a different Chazaka. The Chazaka the Jews don't like to waste money. He already started and made a party for the shidduch with her relative. He doesn't want that party to go to waste. He already hired a caterer. My Benai, what's the nafkamina between the two reasons? Either way, we assume the father is not approving of his own relative. Ika Benai Delatarach nafkamina would be if they didn't make a party. He had not hired a caterer. Do we assume he would approve or not? Abaye would say he still doesn't approve. Rava would say, nah, then maybe he approves. So up until now we've been talking about a guy being Mekadesh Shekatana without the father's das. What if the Kiddushin was done with the father's das, then the father skipped town. He went somewhere else, and now the Nisuin is done while the father's out of town. Do we assume that the Nisuin is Ladas Avia? Meaning, after all, He approved of the Kiddushin. What does he think the next step is going to be? Obviously, if you approve of the Kiddushin, the next step is going to be a Nisuin. Or do we say, no, when he's good and ready for the Nisuin, he'll approve of a Nisuin. But maybe he doesn't approve of the Nisuin being done right now. So Amar Rav, Ochelos b'truma ad shaba avi avimcha. If the husband is a Kohen, she's allowed to eat truma until the father comes back and says, I disapprove. Meaning there's an assumed approval until the father says otherwise. Rav Asi Amar Eino Ochelos. Rav Asi says, no, she cannot eat the husband's truma. Shema yavo avi avimcha v'nimtzei zara ochelos b'truma l'mafreya. Because we have to be concerned that the father might come and object, and it will turn out that she was eating truma lemafreya. Now, what?
Is it after a year or is it miyad?
This is after nisuin is done. Oh, it doesn't say. L'chora could be either one. Whenever this guy chooses to do the nisuin. But what's interesting, though, why is it that an arusa? Let's say there was no nisuin. So is she allowed to eat truma? Is an arusa allowed to eat truma? So midaraisa, yes. Right. It's only midarabana, not. Why? So two opinions. Either one of the opinions is what? That she might feed it to her family, but that concern only exists when she's still living with her family. She's not living with her family anymore. She's living with this guy. They already had Nisuin. So, or she thinks they already have Nisuin. She's acting as if they already had Nisuin. So L'chora, she's not living with her family. What's the other reason?
The
second reason that we said that the girl is not allowed to eat truma while she's only be'erusin is chashash simfon that he might find a mum on her that's going to passel the whole kiddushin. And if she's living with the husband already, if they had nisuin, again, if they had nisuin, without the das avia, so l'chor, neither of these concerns apply. So what's this concern? This is what the Rishonim asks. What's the concern that the father might come and be mocha, and then it will turn out that she ate truma unlawfully? No, it won't, because the whole concern of a narusa eating truma is only that you'll find the mum or that she's going to share it with her brothers. Neither of those concerns exist over here because she's living with this guy. You may have other concerns like what was she doing living with this guy if it turns out that the whole thing was possible. But still, you don't have those concerns. You don't have a concern of her eating truma. So Tos suggests that The chum were not. Once the chum said narus is not allowed to eat truma, lo chilku b'gzeirasim. It's a low pluk that narus is just not allowed to eat truma. The Ravid, however, suggests that when he says shema yavo aviyah v'yimcha, it means that maybe when the father comes back, the husband is going to be malcha. The husband is going to say, who's this girl that you gave me? She's got a mum. You have a chashash simfon. And he's going to say that the whole time she had a mum. And I'm waiting for the father to come. I can't talk to her. She's 9 years old. I'm talking, the father's going to come back and he's going to complain to the father. What in the world is going on over here? You gave me a girl. So it's not the pashup shot at all. In the Gemara, our Gemara, that maybe the father's going to come back and be mocha. We assume that meant that the father's going to say, I don't approve of the nisuin. Says the rabbi, no. The father's going to come back and he will be mocha. He being the son-in-law, not the father. Okay, Havu Uvda, a maisa like this once happened. The Chash La Rav La Had Rav Asi. Even though it was a machlokas between Rav and Rav Asi, Rav was choshesh for Shitas Rav Asi and would not allow the girl to eat truma in the interim. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Umoda Rav She Mesa in Yarsha. Rav admits that if she dies, that he will not inherit her. Uki Mamona Becheskas Mari. Meaning, even though Rav says we consider her to be married to this guy as far as truma goes, and she's allowed to eat truma, if when it comes to the Yerusha, whether the husband is allowed to yarshin her, so that he would say that he does not yarshin her, because whenever you have a suffix about mamon, we always say Amotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya, leave the mamon in the chazaka of the person who it's in the possession of the person who currently has the mamon. This is a pretty good stopping point, so maybe we'll stop here a little bit behind and we'll catch up tomorrow, Bezer Hashem. So we'll stop there.
But we are saying that he didn't sue him.
He did nisuin, but without the das of the father. Yeah.
But he did have das.
But he closed it. I don't understand. Once it's done, how can he come back and say?
He was mad.